Let me tell you about Jennifer. Jennifer was a year older than I was, and I don't know how many friends Jennifer had, but I do remember how cruel the kids in my elementary school were to her. They would shout out, "Jennifer Germs, Jennifer Germs." Even in the first and second grade, it made me want to cry when I would hear that. And I didn't always have the courage, or hardly ever had the courage, to speak up and say, "Knock it off," to the kids who were making fun of Jennifer. But I wish I had. And then let me tell you about Mark. Mark was in my graduating class from high school, and he was different. He had a compulsion that made it necessary for him to drink out of each of the drinking fountains that were in a row. If there were five in a row, or if there were three in a row, he would drink out of each one. Now, there were other obsessive compulsive things that Mark did, and the high school students were cruel to Mark, always making fun of him, calling him awful names. And this time, I remembered what I would see about Jennifer, and I said, "I'm not going to be a coward this time." And so I would say, "Knock it off." And Mark and I were friends. And later on in life, it really benefited me. I was like, "Oh, I'm so glad I was nice to Mark," because Mark's two sisters were other acquaintances of mine. I didn't know that I knew his two sisters, and I knew Mark, but I didn't know that they were related to each other. And I was so happy when Mark came into a store I was working at, and one of his sisters was there. I said, "Mark, from high school." He's like, "Yeah, hey, Kirk, how you doing?" And he would kind of lean over to his sister and say, "He was nice to me in high school." And I was like, "Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to go through what a jerk I was in high school." I'm sure that happens in other cases. But Jennifer and Mark were outcast by their peers. Jennifer, for I have no idea what reason. Mark, there were reasons why people made fun of him, but they were outcast. They were shunned and made to feel, well, they didn't matter at all. And things like that, when I remember that, it still makes me want to cry. And in today's Bible reading, let me read this for you. There is a story that is not at all unlike the story of the man at the gate called Beautiful. Luke 5:12 through 16. "Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, 'Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, 'I do choose. Be made clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one. 'Go,' he said, 'and show yourself to the priest. And as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them.' But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and be cured of their diseases, but Jesus would withdraw to deserted places and pray." Jesus cured a man with leprosy. And, you know, we don't know exactly what the man had. At least it's leprosy, and nowadays we would say that's Hansen's disease, a disease that we know about, and it's treatable. But it could have just as easily been a skin rash. Leprous diseases were open sores, things that didn't go away as easily, and they were contagious, or at least thought to be contagious. Since the rash could spread, they had to follow the Levitical code. It's always fun to read Leviticus. Listen to this from Leviticus 13. "The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head be disheveled, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So this man, the leper, and anyone in his condition, they were outcast. They were shunned, made to feel as if they didn't matter at all. And even though the beginning was they didn't want to spread communicable diseases, these people became the outcasts. They were looked down upon. They didn't matter. Well, everyone out there would would shout out, "Jennifer Germs," to the man. Jesus, he reached out, and instead of shouting out unclean, he touched the man with this contagious skin disease. He made the man clean, purified, made well, restored. The word that says you can make me clean and heal me, it's translated different ways in different translations of our Bible, but it carries that sense of purified, made well, and restored is what happens to a person who is made well when they had been cast out, shunned by everyone else. Just like that, Jesus made this man clean. He made him purified. He made him well. The man was restored. And I can't explain how Jesus healed this man's illness. I don't know why some people are healed when we pray for them, if we lay hands on them and say, "God, please heal this person." I don't understand why some are healed and some aren't. And then some are healed when we don't lay hands, we don't pray at all, and God still does what God's going to do. And I wish I could go and say, "If you do this, 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 and this, this is what happens." But I can't. But I can explain this way of healing, this way of Jesus, because Jesus reached across social boundaries. He ignored the taboo of touching somebody with leprosy, of touching somebody with a communicable disease. He reached across the boundary of having contact with an outcast, and he restored the outcast. The woman from Luke 8, who had been bleeding for 12 years, she thought, "If I could just touch the fringe, the tzitzit of his cloak, then I can be healed." And Jesus didn't turn around and say, "You are unclean. Why did you touch me?" Instead, he said she was made well. She was cleansed, purified, restored. The blind man on the side of the road from Mark 10, he was marginalized in society because he didn't think he could do anything. He just had to stand and collect alms. Jesus restored his sight and restored the man. In our first reading today, the man at the gate called Beautiful, even though people didn't look at him and say, "I can't touch you," they didn't have anything to do with him. He wasn't inside the temple, inside the gate, and then he was healed, and then he jumped up, and he was restored. He's inside, worshiping with everybody else. But he couldn't do that before because he was outcast, because he was sick. This way of healing, this way of Jesus, it's about being made well. It's about being cleansed. It's about being purified, restored. And for Jesus, the healing meant that he had to reach across social boundaries. He had to ignore taboos. He had to cross uncrossable lines to offer this healing, this cleansing, this restoration. So how do we follow Jesus' way of healing? None of us are magic, at least I don't think so. Anybody? Can you go up and touch someone and know that they will be healed, changed? You just put your hand on their head and boom, whatever it is, goes away. If God heals someone when we lay hands on them and pray, it's all about what God is doing and not about something magical that we've done or electricity coming out of our hands. But this way of healing, this way of Jesus, it's about something else. Sure, these people were healed of their diseases, but Jesus restored the outcast in each of these cases. I wonder, have you ever been shunned? Have you ever been outcast? Ostracized? You ever been excluded because of your accent or your skin color, your gender, your social class, your religion, your politics, who your family is? When I see any of God's children marginalized, outcasts, as modern-day lepers, it makes me want to cry. And I think we can follow this way of healing. We can follow this way of Jesus by reaching out to and welcoming the marginalized and the outcast. I wonder if you can think about that. Who is that in your life? What person, what group of people is often thought to be outside of our acceptance, outside of our love? Who seems beyond healing? Who's not worth the time? Who do we wish would just go away? Who have we shunned? We can follow Jesus' way of healing. We can follow the way of Jesus, the way of healing, by reaching across those boundaries, the taboos, the uncrossable lines. We can follow Jesus' way of healing to offer God's healing, God's cleansing, God's restoration. Let's pray. God, thank you for the times when we've had opportunities to reach across those social boundaries, to show your love. Thank you for giving us an example in Jesus Christ. Help us to follow this way of Jesus, this way of healing. In Jesus' name, amen.